Father, this has certainly been such a tremendous series to be able to just focus more deeply on the scriptures and to be able to gain greater understanding and clarity as to how to read it for all that it's worth. And I pray today as we come to a closing in the series that you will continue to spur us on and that there would be new insights for each of us, that we'll be able to take something home. Something that will deepen our Bible study, something that will help us to connect with you in a greater way and just to be able to hear you speak more clearly to us. I pray for all of our spirits this morning that we would be able to calm our hearts and minds as we listen to your word and what we can learn from it. We love you. We pray in your son's name. Amen. Please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Today we're going to take a look at an ancient practice in a way that the 5th and 6th century Christians, or not all of them, but it started around about the 5th and 6th century, a practice in how they read the scriptures. Now, I've only come to really study this and get to know of this over the last couple of months, probably 6 months. I've read several devotional books and all of them refer to this concept called Lectio Divina. And some of you might be far ahead of me on this one. I certainly had to learn a lot about it and try and figure it out and still trying to bring it into my Bible study. But Lectio Divina was a way of studying the scriptures that originated around about 5th, 6th century by the ancient Christians in reading the Bible in a different way. And it is just a way. It is not the way, but a way. And a lectio basically means reading, and divina means divine. So you're talking about divine reading. It was, or sacred reading, they referred to it as. And this is the kind of practice that when you practice it in your Bible study, it certainly takes both you and your relationship with God to a whole another level. A lectio divina is a way of allowing your mind to somehow descend into your heart, and then for your heart and your mind to together be drawn into the depths of God's love and goodness. Several studies through the years have shown that we are shaped by our environment, where we walk, talk, breathe, and have our being. And so the idea of Lectio Divina is that you will be drawn into the scriptures so that the scriptures will shape who you are. So again, it is not about information, but it's about transformation. And I wasn't here last week, but I know that what James more or less was planning to speak about, I don't know what he eventually spoke about. But certainly one of the things is that on average you cannot really put percentages to it, but when we read the Bible, it's to really go sort of for 80% of my Bible study should be transformational, and maybe 20% should be informational, and 20% that's informational, even that should lead to transformation. And Lectio Divina works the same way. It was basically, in its most classic element, was divided into four parts. The first one was called Lectio. The second one, and this almost sounds like I'm making it up if you listen to these words, but it's actually true. The first one was lecture, which meant to read with a listening spirit. The second part was meditatio. Now, that sounds like it's made up, but it's actually Italian and it's true. It's to reflect on what it is that you're reading. The third part was oratio, which was where you will pray in response to what you've heard or what you've seen in the scriptures. And the last part was contemplatio. I thought the same thing, but now I research as well. This is true. And obviously you can guess that's contemplating. Contemplating on how can you carry forward in your life that which you've read. So basically we start with listening, reading with a listening spirit. Then it is meditatio, is reflecting. Oratio is praying. And contemplatio would really be, how do I obey the scriptures? How do I take it into my life? Now, what you would do is, I'm going to sort of try and take you through this as we read through Luke chapter 5, how it would start is, as first these early Christians there would sort of be a time of preparation. Now, time of preparation, I think, for any of us are hard in our life. It's so fast paced. We get up early in the morning and life flies by you. But they had a time of preparation. And first of all, what was most important is that they would get themselves into a spot free from distraction. In other words, they would be able to be completely quiet so they could center themselves with God. For us today, I think that can sometimes be hard to find a spot like that, even in our own home. And usually it's the early hours that makes that more doable. But meaning that it's free from your cell phone, free from phones, free from computers, free from email, free from your children, free from demands. It's just, it is a quiet place. Second thing that they would do is they would then pick a text. Usually short, a couple of verses or a story, and we're going to pick Luke 5 today to be able to look through that. And on this text then would be the text that they would focus on. Then the third thing that they would do, and this sounds a bit monk-like, but you can figure out how this could work for you today, but they would basically breathe deeply. And the purpose of the breathing deeply before they went into this was, again, to be able to free themselves from the clamor of distraction. That somehow, I don't know what your lives are like, but if anything like me, it's, I mean, your mind is filled with a ton of things. It is filled with your marriage and your children and your job and bills that needs to be paid or should have been paid or must still be paid and your future and what is my pension going to be like and do I even have a future and what is my job if you're maybe younger and what will I pick as a career as a teen? It's full with all these kind of things. And what the ancient Christians would do is they would just sort of breathe deeply just to center themselves. Now, you don't have to do that. You need to figure out whatever works for you just to be able to sort of still your mind and your heart and sort of bring time almost to a standstill as you come before God. Then they would breathe a prayer of preparation. This would be a short prayer, 30 seconds, 60 seconds. And it was a prayer in which they allowed the Holy Spirit to ease their spirit into a response of divine expectancy. Meaning they would say a short prayer to prepare them, saying, God, I want to get something from this. And I believe that this is going to be a divine encounter as I sit and as I study this text. I believe that it will transform me. I believe that you will speak into my life through it. Now, the first part is lectures, reading with a listening spirit. What does that mean? It means that you can't rush through the text if you practice this form of reading. You can't rush through it. Speed reading is for newspapers, magazines, novels, but it's not for something as precious and as delicate as the scriptures. This is a form of, when you read it, it's not something that you can rush through. It is almost like going into a new relationship with someone that you like, someone that you are, maybe when you're younger, you think back a couple of years, someone that you're sort of kind of keen on. And you go into that relationship slowly, easily, but steadily. You can't say to a flower as it grows, hurry up. You can't pull the flower to make it grow faster or the relationship. And this is the same with this kind of reading as you read slowly. So why don't we read slowly? Luke chapter 5, verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along and was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, do not tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowd of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So lecture is you trying to read this with a listening spirit. You're reading slowly. You try and see through the scripture, beyond the scripture, to the Lord of the scripture. And at first you'll read the passage without pausing. You'll just go through it. You are just reading it with an attitude of expectancy. Now again, this is going to be very hard for you if you are not able to calm your heart and your mind before the reading. So you need to be calm and you're expecting something. When you read, you're reading with the eyes of your heart. You're fixing your gaze upward, listening to God's Spirit, connecting with your spirit and your heart. After your initial reading, you can maybe read it through again. And this time, you're looking for something, a specific phrase or a specific word that somehow stands out to you, something through which God could possibly speak to you. And that then takes you to the next level, meditatio, reflecting on what it is that you're hearing. So you go back to the text, you read it again, and you ask yourself, what is it for me that is currently standing out in this text? And as you read this text, and as I read it, a word that stood out for me was touched. And so as you're meditating or reflecting and you're thinking of the word, or maybe that's the word that stands out for you, where it says, he reached out his hand and touched the man. Then you need to try and place yourself in the leper's skin and to his life as you meditate on it. Meaning that somehow, some way, you need to try and transport yourself back to AD 33. You are in Galilee. And you discovered at some point that you had this atrocious disease called leprosy. What that would mean was that at first, when people thought you had it, you would have been locked up for about 7 days. They would scrape off that part of your skin which seemed like it had leprosy, and they would burn it. They would burn all your clothes. And then when they've discovered that you have leprosy, they would shave your head, they would give you a lot of old rags, and you would have to live in seclusion, and no one was allowed to come near you or touch you. As you would walk through the towns of Galilee, you would continually have to say out loud, unclean, unclean, I am unclean. That is the only way that you are allowed in public, saying those words as you walk, unclean, unclean, I am unclean. We have no idea how long this man have had leprosy, but if it's been months or years, it means that he has not been touched. He has not experienced physical touch for years. Not from friends, not from family, not from his wife, not from his children. One of the things that I love most about being a parent is my kids hugging me. And I would sometimes force them to do it, or force hug them rather. But there's nothing as great as when they sort of latch onto you and they just hug you. Or my wife walks past me and we just touch hands. Or we're sitting somewhere and we just touch hands. It is touch. It's a form of affection. It's a form of connection. This man has not had anything like that for years at end. Then he hears about a miracle worker. A man that apparently is able to heal people of disease and all kinds of sickness. But he thinks to himself, this would be wonderful, but I am a sinner. And this man is a rabbi. And as a matter of fact, as a leper, you were banned from the temple. You were not allowed to even come close to it. And you think to yourself, would such a man have remotely any form of interest in me in whatever form of capacity? And you think there is no way that he could care in any way or manner. But then you think to yourself, what have I got to lose? What if I beg them? What if I just stood by the side and separate from the people, and as he walks by, what if I just fell down on my face in front of him and begged them? Is there maybe any chance, any possibility that he would have mercy on me? What have I got to lose? I have to try this, but I cannot live with this disease any longer. And so the man is amongst the crowd or on the side of the crowd, and he sees Jesus come by. And as Jesus comes by, he literally falls down and says, on his face before Jesus. And he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The amazing thing is most probably his expectancy. He most probably have expected either Jesus would just pass him by or say no, or maybe in the best case scenario say, cool, you're clean, go and wash yourself or do what have you and swing his magic wand. But instead it says that Jesus reached out to the man and touched him. When you're reflecting on what it is that you're hearing, you have to place yourself once again in that man's skin and you have to ask yourself, what must that have felt like to feel someone's touch for the first time in years? But not only do you feel their touch, as you feel the touch, you can feel the sickness drawn out of your body, out of your heart. And you can feel that you've been set free. That's meditating. And as you're thinking of the story and as you're thinking of the touch, your mind is working through the detail and your spirit is alert to what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you in this matter. What is it that God is asking you? And inwardly you are asking, Father, please, please reveal yourself to me through this text. It is a time where you sort of float into the depths of God and you become aware of His voice speaking to you. At first, you're not sure where it's coming from, but as you focus more and more, it is becoming clearer and clearer and you can feel it literally echoing in the chambers of your heart. You're listening. You're reflecting. It is sort of like eating something that you've been waiting for all day long. I don't know if you've ever gone through that where you desire a chocolate or I don't know what sort of floats your boat or a nice steak or maybe a nice salad for the ladies or... Jeez, it's hard to describe this on salad, but I mean, salad just doesn't do it. It's a picture of, I don't know, cheesecake or it's something that you really desire. And as you take that first bite, I mean, you don't just swallow it, you savor it. You can feel its texture. And as you feel its texture, you can almost in that first bite, you can feel it go through. You guys connecting here with me, you can feel it make its landing. Last week, I've got to tell you, this is a bit off the point, but last week I was in Johannesburg and Chris van Staden took me to the airport and he said, why don't we grab a quick lunch? And there is, they had a Sunday roast at the airport. And if you love food, then those things are dangerous, man. And we had about 30 minutes, or I had, otherwise I'd miss my plan. And we sort of started slightly with a light salad, and like I said, that didn't do much. And then went to the meat, and it's exactly that experience. And then I've made this known publicly again and again, but I love dessert. And so it came to dessert, and it was a buffet dessert. And they had flambies, and they had this peppermint sort of, I don't even know what you call it, a peppermint crisp dessert, and they had chocolate mousse, and what have you. And man, I was texturing, and I was experiencing, and I was... what have you, and the clock is ticking now. It was 4 minutes to go when I moved on to dessert. Man, it was so awesome. And I went for a second helping, and Chris first said, no, he's going to be self-controlled. He's not going to do that. And the next thing I see is Chris is right next to me. He's also dishing in. But the clock is ticking, and so I run back to the table, and I eat, and suddenly I see Chris next to me. He says, Vander, you're not at our table. And I was just so eager to connect with this dessert that I didn't even focus on going back to the right table. I was sitting on a table next to us just eating. Now that's what needs to happen in the moment of a reflection as you are taking it in, as you are tasting it, as you taste the texture, as you experience it, as you are sinking into the depths of God's love and goodness. And like Samuel in the clarity of the night, you say, Father, speak. For your servant is listening. What is your word to mean? Meditatio, reflecting on what you're hearing. Third level then, and like I said, please understand, this is something that I've discovered recently, and as I read this, I thought, yeah, This is a whole different level of Bible study. Oratio is praying in response to this hearing. In other words, when you're experiencing this, when you are in the depths of God's love and goodness, when you are savoring and tasting, and you've read slowly, and you can hear God's voice reverberating, echoing in the chambers of your heart, and you say, "Speak, for your servant is listening," somehow this is naturally going to overflow into communion with God, praying in response to your hearing. We would want to, in a moment like that, turn to the lover of our soul, look into his divine face after reading a text like this and say, "Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Like you, as you have touched this man, you have touched me. My life was in disarray. It was a complete mess. There was no hope. And yet you reached out to me and you touched me. And Father, it was not only back in the day when I became a Christian. It is today. Because even yesterday, even last night, I was thinking the kind of thoughts that I should not be thinking. Doing the kind of things that I know in my heart I should not be doing. But yet this morning as I came before your word, and as I centered myself before you, I could sense that you touched me. And I could sense that there is hope. And I could sense, and I am sensing, that I too can change. That I can be different. And far as I'm in communion with you, the guilt is taken away. And I feel like this man, freed from my suffering. And all that I can say is thank you. Thank you. I feel like I can go down on my face like this beggar and just say thank you. Oratio. Praying in response to what you've read, to what you've meditated on, and to what you've experienced. The fourth and final part is the one that you guys think I made up. It's contemplatio. That is, now I've read, I have meditated, I have prayed. Now I need to contemplate on how I will carry this forward in my life. The things that I've experienced with God, the things that I've heard Him say to me, how would this spill over into my life? How would this interaction now spill over into my thoughts, into my actions, into my relationships? How will I take this text into my day? Now, this is a little bit of a different form of study than the first lesson that we did, where you're not necessarily looking for the author's original intent, but you are looking for, is there something that God is specifically saying to me? That He might not be saying the same thing to my wife through this text. He might not be saying the same thing to my neighbor. But for where I am in life, for where I am currently as a teenager or as a campus student or maybe as an empty nester or somewhere in between, for where I am, for what I am going through, what is it that He is saying to me specifically that He would want to spill over into my life? As we read this, is it that He is saying to me that I need to be more grateful? Is it that as I'm reading this, that He is saying to me, Vander, remember where you come from? And as you go into this day, my friend, lift your spirit. We can be so negative. We can look at the world that's in disarray and say, oh, it is so hard to live here. Is God maybe saying to me, although this is a tough place, although it is filled with sin, although there is so much crime and complexity, I have touched you and I have freed you. And you should be grateful. It should change your spirit. Is he maybe saying to me that there are lepers around me physically, people battling with disease, and he wants me to pay attention to them? It could be something as basic as someone just having a common cold in your house. And they're actually falling down you, begging you, please take notice of me. I'm in pain and agony. And he just wants you to notice them. Care for them. Be interested. Is it bigger than that? Is it the poor that he is speaking to you to and saying, I want you to pay more attention to the poor. I want you to be aware of them. Every day you drive past the poor and it's, I know you cannot feed everyone. I know you cannot give money to everyone, but do you even notice them? Are you even aware? Father, I want you to be aware of them as you go into this day. Or is he maybe saying to me that, Vanner, the issue of the day is not physical leprosy, but spiritual leprosy. And around you, people's lives are falling apart. And you experience the joy of a relationship with me and communion with me. Reach out to them. Notice them. Be aware of them. Touch them. Touch them with kindness. Touch them with love. Touch them with the scriptures. Show it to them, because this is what will bring healing. Vanner, you can't bring healing, but through me and through the scriptures, you can bring healing. Their lives can change. They can be healed. Their marriage can be saved. Their bitterness can be overcome. Over the last couple of months, I've had, just in conversation with different people, just so many people share with me where We're in relationships where either friends or family of theirs have experienced some form of hurt in the past. And in that hurt, they were just simply not able to forgive the person that has hurt them. And in forgiveness, what you're really doing is you're in many ways saying, I'm setting you free. I'm setting you free, and I'm setting myself free from you. And someone was sharing with us a couple of months ago just about a relative, I can't remember all the detail, but a relative that had grudges against her husband. And how hard it was for her to work through those grievances, and how hard it was for her to forgive the husband. And the husband died and moved on and passed on, and yet she couldn't forgive. And as I was listening to this story, I said, yeah, that must be so hard. And I said, when did he die? And I thought it to be very recent, like a couple of months or a year or what have you. And I can't remember the exact detail, but it was something like 30 or 40 years ago. And still, the husband was so abusive that the wife just couldn't let it go, couldn't be freed from her suffering. And those kind of situations is in here for us today. And maybe Jesus is saying to you today, maybe you are that person this morning, and Jesus is saying, I can free you from your suffering. Be touched by me. My hand is reaching out of yours. Reach yours back. Maybe it is a friend or a relative that you know is in that situation. And Jesus is saying, touch them. They can be healed. Contemplatio. How do I take it forward? It's not about information. It is about transformation. So as we go into this new month over Easter that is around the corner, my hope and prayer for us is that we will be able to read our Bible through new lenses and new eyes, and that we will be able to come to the text and maybe just give it a shot, even just once this week, where you quiet yourself. You go before the scripture, you read with the listening spirit, you meditate on a specific word or phrase as to what God is saying to you, you allow it to flow over into your prayer with communion with God, and you come up with an idea and a plan, and you say, God, I want to make this a part of my life. And I believe that as we do that, our lives will be changed. And I believe as we do that, we will be like this man, where we would feel pain and doubt be drawn from our bodies and our hearts. And we too would be freed from our suffering. God bless. Let's close with a word of prayer.